I have a confession to start off with this morning. I have been a Christian for more than 30 years. For two-thirds of that time, I've been working with congregations in various places as an evangelist, as a preacher. And I have to confess that up until just a few months ago, I think I've had evangelism exactly backwards. There were aspects of it that I just did not grasp and understand. In fact, it was a passage that I've read who knows how many times that corrected and convicted. I'm talking about a passage that most of us know. Most of us know pretty well. We've heard sermons about it. I've preached sermons about it. We know this story. I'm talking about the story of that sower. I want to read about it in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus tells us that a sower went forth to sow. In Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4, when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell onto good soil and grew up and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I don't know why, but for the longest time I've read this story as if it's just normal, but it's not. In fact, what I hope is that by the time we're done today, that all our ideas that this story is just a normal story will be gone, and we will be willing to learn the lesson and be motivated together to encourage one another to sow the seed like crazy. Because that's what this guy did. He sowed the seed like crazy. I just want us to open up this passage and spend some time in it today exposing what Jesus has said to us in this parable. Before we get to that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are the great God, the ruler of heaven and earth. You are the wondrous God who sent your Son into this world as your word, as the seed, who then was planted in the ground and brought forth with new life. And we long to follow in his footsteps as we, those who are your children, have been buried with him, planted and raised forth with new life, that we might go and sow your seed in the hearts of men, that it might be planted there, that it might grow there, and that it might come forth with new life, producing life in others. We want the opportunity to share your gospel with so many people. We pray that you would open doors for us. Father, you have promised that you can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And so we're asking and thinking big. We don't even know how to ask big enough. Father, we know we can't challenge you. We know that we cannot test the limits of your power. We know that you can do more than we can even imagine. And that's what we're asking for, that you through us would do more in evangelism and in disciple making than we can even imagine, that we will be shocked. And by the time we're done, we'll know that it wasn't us, but it was you. And we pray that you would do that kind of work in this congregation, that our hearts and minds will be attuned to you, to your Spirit, to your Son, to your will, that your fullness will be in us, that your Son will dwell in our hearts, that will be strengthened in our inner being by the power of your Spirit, that we might know the depth and breadth and height and understand your love for us and for those who are around us, that we will see those who are lost and we will care about them, that we will care so much about them that we will break our comfort zones, and that we will get out and proclaim your gospel and sow your seed like crazy. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to be a part of your field, of your vineyard, that we can be a part of spreading your gospel so that others can be around your throne and can glorify you and be glorified by you. Help us today to have our hearts and minds open to your word, that we might be motivated, that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened and emboldened to bring you glory by spreading your seed. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. For our guests, I want to say thank you for being here today. I pray that you have felt welcomed and that what we learn here today, even though I will admit I'm talking mostly to the folks who are members here normally, that you will learn something from this as it comes to the seed of God. And I want to invite you. You were handed a program when you walked in. You may not have looked inside that yet. If you do, you'll notice on page 3 that there's an interactive outline that you can fill in and you can go along with the lesson as we're going through that. Additionally, you may have noticed, in fact, whether you looked inside it or not, it probably fell out and you saw that there was a connection card. We'd love for you to fill that out for us. When the plate comes by at the end of the assembly, you can drop that in there. I forgot to put the slide up in here in my PowerPoint, but if you don't like to fill out cards, you can pull your phone out now, but you better do it quick because I'm going to give you this number twice. You can text on your phone to 813-337-6817. You can text in the word welcome. Text the word welcome to that number, 813-337-6817. It's actually on the back of your program, so you can find that number there. And you can text the word welcome, and you'll get a digital connection card that you can fill out for us. That way we can just let you know how much we appreciate you being here, and we can follow up with some great information about this congregation and what we want to do to be able to help you. I love this congregation. I love this congregation because we're interested in sowing the seed like crazy. We'd love for you to be a part of that. We'd love to sow the seed of God's word in your heart and spend some time talking about that. I know that it would benefit you as it's benefited us. And I want to talk about that for a few moments, what it means to sow the seed like crazy. I have to tell you, this is exactly where I got evangelism backwards. I don't know if it's because I'm not a farmer. I didn't grow up on a farm. Anybody grow up on a farm? We have a few people that grew, a lot of people that grew up on a farm. All right. And I've tried a garden a couple of times. I'm not very good at it. That's an understatement. Somebody said earlier this week that they thought I might be like their friend who could turn a silk plant brown. And that's about true. So I'm not sure if it's because I'm not that agrarian and I didn't grow up in that agrarian setting, that maybe it's because of that, that I didn't realize how shocking this story is. But for years and years, I've read this parable as if it's just normal, as if this is just another day on the farm. But that is not the case at all. This is not just a normal story. This is not just another day on the farm. In fact, I think it's interesting that when I've heard people preach on it, and even this week as I was reading a book that talked about this parable, the fellow went on and on about how, yep, this is just the way they farmed back in those days. They just broadcast that seed like this. And so Jesus tells a story. It's kind of like the way farming just always worked. And maybe it's because of all that. Maybe it's because of all that I've just read through this story and missed the amazing point. Let me ask you this. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the people who first heard this story. There's this teacher that come along. He's done some pretty amazing things. He said some pretty strange things. And now he just starts telling the story about a farmer. You're not reading this in a book where somebody told you that it's a parable and then defined that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You're not even reading it in the Bible where it begins by saying Jesus told a parable. So there's not anything that's warned you that this story is anything other than a story about a farmer. There's just this teacher who's a pretty amazing teacher, but he just starts telling you a story about a farmer. As you read through this, let me ask you, is there anything in this story that would cause you to stop in your tracks and say, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem normal. Let's read the story again and see if you can pick up on what I'm talking about. A sower went out to sow his seed, it says in Luke 8 and verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Is there anything in this story that causes you to say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right? I wonder if Jesus is talking about something else. Is there anything that stops you in your tracks? Or do you just look at that and say, yeah, that's the way farming works? Is the only thing in this passage that causes us to stop and say, maybe I should think about this more, where Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Is that it? Up till a few months ago, I think I'd have said, yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, he just tells a story about a farmer. But one day as I'm reading this, it all of a sudden hit me. I don't know a whole lot about farmers, but I know that farmers don't do what this guy did. I don't know a farmer alive that does what this guy did. And frankly, I think that farmers in the first century knew as much about this as we do today, and they didn't act like this. Oh, I'm sure that we can find pictures like this guy, just people tossing seed. And I'm sure they went out in the field and they did a lot of throwing of the seed. But I have to tell you, this guy's not sowing seed like a normal person. This guy's sowing seed like crazy. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to sow the seed like crazy. Look, there's not a sane farmer out there who looks at the pathway and says, let me throw some seed so the seed gets on the pathway. There's not a sane farmer out there that says that. When a farmer looks at soil like that, do you know what a farmer says? Farmer says, I got to get my tiller out. I got to break that up. Right? Isn't that what you do when you see pathway soil and you think your seed's going to get on that? What do you do with it? You break it up. Because what do you know about it? I know if the seed falls on that, it ain't going to grow. The birds are going to get it and they're going to steal it. I don't want to waste the seed. There's no sane farmer that does that. There's no sane farmer that tosses his seed so it gets out there on the rocky soil. Every sane farmer knows if I've got rocky soil, what have I got to do? I get the rocks and stones out of the soil. You don't throw the seed on rocky soil. There's not a sane farmer out there that sees weedy, thorny soil and says, I'm going to throw this seed so that it ends up over there. What's a sane farmer do? A sane farmer says, there's weeds and thorns there. I got to get rid of those weeds and thorns. Because see, what a sane farmer knows is seed grows on good soil. And so I don't throw this seed around so that it ends up getting on the pathway or in the rocky ground or in the thorny, weedy ground. Because that, you know what that is? That's what crazy people do. But what is this sower doing? What does Jesus' sower do? He sows the seed so it goes on all of those. It goes on the good ground. It goes on the weedy ground. It goes on the thorny, stony ground. Excuse me, on the thorny, weedy ground, the stony ground, the pathway ground. He's sowing the seed like crazy. Guys, that's the message. That's our message. That's what Jesus is saying to us. And instead of coming to this story ready-made with my excuses about why I'm not supposed to sow the seed like crazy, what I need to do is learn about those who are sowers following in Jesus' field. What do? We sow the seed like crazy. Now, why would we do that? Because we're not crazy people. Every single one of us hearing this story, I mean, every person hearing this should say, that is not how farmers do that. That's not how, I mean, they may toss it, but they know it's supposed to go into good ground. We don't toss it so it gets on all those places. So why would Jesus say that? Well, Jesus goes on to explain to us, because I'm not really talking about literal seed, and I'm not really talking about literal grounds in a field, and I'm not really talking about literal birds. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm talking about something else. Why do we sow the seed like crazy? Because we're not talking about gardening. We're talking about disciple making. What does he go on to tell us? Well, here's why. Because the seed is not a literal seed. We're not talking about grain seed. We're talking about the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus actually starts to explain this parable. I don't have to guess and wonder. He goes on because they asked him about it. And he says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. That's important. That's important because we've got to understand that we're supposed to sow the seed like crazy. And what is it that we're supposed to be sowing? We're supposed to be sowing the Word of God. We are not sowing the seed if we are not sowing the Word of God. Now, this is important because there are a lot of things that are related to the Word of God that we're going to be doing. But it's not the same as sowing the seed, because sowing the seed is only happening when we're sowing the Word of God. We know that Christians who are saved by the grace of God, as Titus 2:14 explains, that we're going to be zealous for good deeds. And Titus 3:14, we're going to be devoted to good deeds and helping in cases of urgent need. But the seed that we're sowing is not our good deeds. We know from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 that we're supposed to shine our light so that people see our good works and glorify God. That's what Christians do. But the seed is not our good works. We haven't sown the seed because we've gone out and done a bunch of good works. And here's one that's shocking. We know that God has commanded us to love. He's commanded us to love our neighbor. He's commanded us to love our families. He's even commanded us to love our enemies. And in fact, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus points out the world will know we're his disciples because of how we love one another. But despite what Tears for Fears taught us back in 1989, love is not the seed that we're sowing. Bob remembers. It's not sowing the seeds of love. We're sowing the seed when we sow the Word of God. And we haven't sowed the seed until it's the Word of God that we've cast out. That is when we're sowing the seed. And that is the seed that we have to sow. And we need to sow this seed like crazy. Why do we need to sow the seed like crazy? Because the seed is not a literal seed, it's the Word of God. In addition to that, the soils are not literal soils. The soil are the hearts of men. The soil are the hearts of men. We're not talking about taking seed and going out into the field and tossing it out so that it gets on some dirt. We're talking about taking the Word of God and tossing it out so that it can get into the hearts of men and women who are around us. Why do we need to sow that seed like crazy? Because I can't see their heart. Can you see their heart? I can't see their heart. I can see their clothes. I can see the color of their skin. I can see the jewelry that they wear. I can see the art that they've got on their body. I can see their haircut. But I can't see their heart. I don't know what kind of heart they have. See, a farmer doesn't sow like this normally because he can see the ground. He can tell the difference between the pathway and the weedy soil and the rocky soil and the good soil. So he throws that seed so it gets on the good soil. But I can't see the soil that I'm talking about. I don't know if the heart is weedy and thorny. I don't know if it's rocky. I don't know if it's pathway. And I don't know if it's good. In 1 Kings 8 and 2 Chronicles, where Solomon dedicated the temple with his prayer, he pointed out that only God knows the hearts. I don't know the heart. And because I don't know the heart, and because I can't prejudge the soil, I am supposed to sow the seed like crazy. I'm supposed to sow the seed like crazy. Which actually leads to the next thing that we need to understand. You know, I've heard people come to this parable, and I've said it because I thought it was really cool when I heard it. I've said this statement. You know, we love to have those little turns of phrases that makes us seem like we're really profound and it ought to be in a book somewhere. And people will say, you know, Edwin said, we like that. And so I've said this, boy, it's a wonderful little turn of phrase. And you know, it does apply in the spirit that it's intended, but in actuality, it's wrong. Have you ever heard anybody say, we're supposed to be sowers of the seed, not testers of the soil? You ever heard anybody say that? In the spirit of that sentence, it's true. We're not supposed to prejudge the soil, but what I want to tell you is in reality, it's not true. We are supposed to be testers of the soil, but the only way you can test the soil is to sow the seed. That's the only way we can test the soil, because we're talking about soil that's not literal soil, it's hearts of men. And the only way we can know what kind of heart is there is if we sow the seed. I can't see the heart. You know, I would have never thought that Saul would be a heart that would accept the gospel. Would you? Persecuting Christians? Man, if I were looking around Zacchaeus and Matthew, I'd have never thought those tax collectors, greedy, that those people would want to become a disciple, and one of them even an apostle. I tell you what, I'd have thought the rich young ruler, though. Here's a guy that's come chasing Jesus down and asking, what do I do to get eternal life? Man, there's a heart ready for God. Except not so much, because he went away sad because he had great possessions. I don't know the heart. And the only way to test the soil is to sow the seed. You think about the people that are around you. We look at folks and all we can see is what's going on the outside. We can't see what's motivating it. We can't see what's going on in the heart that produces that. There's all kinds of emotional and psychological and spiritual reasons. You know, that guy on the job who stabbed you in the back and took your promotion and gave you the finger on the way up the ladder, that guy may be an evil, mean, rotten, awful person, just wicked to the core. But I tell you what else he might be. He might be a person that's racked with insecurity because his parents had abused him. And the only way that he gets any type of fulfillment or meaning is to try to be successful on the job. He's a sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. And he knows that he needs something. He hates himself for all the wrong things that he does. And he knows that he needs something. He just doesn't know what it is. And he just needs somebody to sow the seed. Because that's what his heart is. That may be who he is. That person who always does great work on the job, who's good to his wife, who takes trip over to third world countries to build wells and feed hungry children, maybe a person who just loves God, and maybe just a person who just wanted to pass on the grace of God in his life and is just surrendering to God. But you know what else? He may be a person that's trying to prove how good he is and show that he doesn't need God because he's good enough. I can't see the heart. And the only way to test the soil is to sow the seed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes we look at somebody who's sexually immoral and say, well, they would never listen. Somebody who's a thief, they would never listen. A murderer, an idolater, somebody who's pursuing homosexual behavior, they would never listen. And yet here were a whole bunch of people whose hearts were good soil. They just needed to hear the gospel. And they were sanctified and they were justified and they were washed. There's only one way to test the soil, and that's to sow the seed. And brothers and sisters, here's what that means. We need to sow the seed like crazy. Because that's the only way to test that soil that's all around us. We need to sow the seed like crazy. But we need to be prepared for the results of sowing the seed like crazy. We need to be prepared for the results of sowing the seed like crazy. I think my ready-made excuses for not sowing the seed like crazy are because I know that the results Jesus describes are the results that we get, and I don't like them very much. And when we get the results that Jesus described, we think we're doing something wrong. Here's what I want to suggest. Unless we are getting the results Jesus describes, we're doing something wrong. Unless we are getting these results, we're doing something wrong. If we were doing it the way Jesus said in this parable, we'd be getting these exact results. And they don't need to discourage us. They don't need to upset us. They need to encourage us, because when we get what this sower got, we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. Let's think about this. He gives us four different results. When we're sowing the seed like crazy, you know what? Some people are going to reject the seed. Some people are going to reject the seed when we're sowing the seed like crazy. Some people aren't going to like the seed. And when that happens, we think we did something wrong. There are books written about how we did something wrong. You know, your problem was you didn't cultivate the ground enough. You read that somewhere in an evangelism book? If you'd have cultivated the ground enough, he wouldn't have rejected the seed. Hogwash. When we're sowing the seed like crazy, there are just going to be people who reject the seed. We're so busy waiting around for that magic bullet that if I do it right, everybody who hears it is going to accept it. That's not the way it works. That is not how it works. Some people don't want the seed. That's sad. And I admit it, it's discouraging. But when we're doing what Jesus wants and we're sowing the seed like crazy, there are just going to be some people whose hearts are hardened, and Satan's going to steal that word from out of their heart. And they're not going to accept it. We find that there in Luke chapter 8. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. I jumped into my explanation and forgot to read the verse. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So that they may not believe and be saved. There are going to be some people who reject. I think we get that one, or I think we're getting that one better and better. But I think it's the second one that's going to give us some real problems. It's the second one that causes us to back up and say, man, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Because when we're sowing the seed like crazy, some people will accept the seed, but quickly fall away. Some people will accept the seed, but quickly fall away. Look at what it says in verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Initially, they hear it, they receive it with joy. They've become a child of God. They've confessed Jesus as Lord. That word has gotten into their heart and it starts to sprout and it starts to bring forth life. But it doesn't ever dig down deep because of the rocks and the stones. And in time of testing, they quickly fall away. That testing could be persecution. That testing could be false teachers that are perverting the seed. That testing could just simply be that they confess Jesus as Lord, and it's only now that they finally found out what it means for Jesus to be Lord. That means I have to give up this sin. I have to give up that sin. I've got to do these things. I don't think I like that very much. I didn't know that's what I was signing up for. I just thought I was signing up for heaven. I didn't know I was signing up for Jesus to be my Lord. And it tests them. And they fall away. And it can happen really quickly, and that can be really discouraging. And I know that causes us a problem, and I know that causes me a problem, because I have another confession to make. I've been in those discussions as I look at people who sow the seed like crazy, and they're making me look bad and making me feel bad. And I know what my last defense is. Yeah, but look at their retention rate. Look at their retention rate. Oh, they're out there sowing the seed, and they're talking to people, and they've baptized 25 people, but how many of them are still here this year? They're doing it wrong. And all that is my excuse to not sow the seed like crazy. Because the fact is, when we're sowing the seed the way Jesus says sow the seed, there are going to be people who accept it and quickly fall away. Now, please don't misunderstand. Are we supposed to water the seed? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, as Paul talks about he and Apollos, he points out, what then is Apollos and what is Paul, servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each? I planted, Apollos watered. Are we supposed to water that? Yeah, absolutely. Are we supposed to ask people to count the cost? Certainly. In Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? And on he goes. Are we supposed to take those who are responding and ask them to count the cost? And yes. But even having done all that, when we're sowing the seed like crazy, we're going to meet lots of people who hear the gospel, want the gospel, and they're going to respond to it, and we're going to baptize them into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they're going to burst forth in joy and happiness. And then pretty quickly, you're going to fall away. What I want to suggest is, if we're not having that happen, we're not doing it right. If we're waiting around to only sow the seed with the people that we think are going to stick with it, we're not doing it right. I understand it discourages us. I understand that we're going to do everything we can to keep those folks here. But when we're sowing the seed like crazy, some people are going to accept it, and then they're going to quickly fall away. The third one, the third result, points out that some people are going to accept it, but they'll just never bear fruit to maturity. There in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. There are some people who hear the seed and they think, man, I want heaven. I want to be saved. But they come in here, and even though they stick around, they never start quite looking like a child of God. They still just continue to look like the world. They don't bear fruit. They'll make it to church enough that the church isn't going to discipline them, but the fruit is not growing in their hearts and minds. They're still trying to hang on to their sins over here, and those things are choking them out so that the fruit can't mature. And that's discouraging. I understand that, but you know what? When we're sowing the seed like crazy, that's the way some people are going to be. Does that mean we just leave them like that? No, of course not. We teach them. That's what making a disciple is. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is baptizing people and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, he told this parable. A man had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Certainly, when we see Christians like that, we're going to dig around them. We're going to put the fertilizer on there. We're going to try to cultivate that with the Word of God, which is the only thing that cultivates soils. And we're going to warn them about the judgment to come. I get it, you're coming to church, but you still look more like the world than you do like Jesus Christ. You got to be bearing some fruit. Judgment is coming. But we need to understand, we're sowing the seed like crazy. We're going to find people like that. But then there's number four, and you know, perhaps this is the one that actually surprises us the most, and I hate to say that, but you know, I realize that I spend so much time trying to short-circuit the discouragement that comes from people who reject it, or people who fall away quickly, or people who just don't ever grow fruit, that sometimes I forget there's actually a fourth soil, and there really are people out there like that, and there are people in here like that. What's that fourth response? The fourth response is some will accept the seed, they'll grow to maturity, and they bear fruit. In the other passages, they say some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In Luke's explanation, it's just 100-fold. They bear fruit with patience. There are people who will accept it. There are people where that seed will get down into their heart, and it'll dig deep, and it'll grow tall, and it'll bear fruit. I'm looking at some of them. Can we praise God for that? It'll happen. Somebody sowed the seed in your life. Aren't you glad for that? There's people here this morning that need the seed, and there's people out there that need the seed. They're just waiting for someone. They're good soil. You don't know if they're good soil. They just need you to sow the seed. And the only time this kind of response happens is when we sow the seed like crazy. If we spend all our time afraid that it's going to be those other three and forget that there really is this soil out there, we don't sow the seed. We're supposed to be sowing the seed like crazy. Because that's when we find this soil. There's a couple other things we need to understand in addition to being prepared for the results. Please understand that even working with good soil takes patient endurance. Even working with good soil takes patient endurance. I like the way Jesus explains this parable in Luke, the way Luke has recorded it, because I like the very last thing he says in verse 15, Luke 8:15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Your translation may say with endurance. It may say with perseverance. Primarily, this is talking about the patient endurance and perseverance of the good seed. Primarily, it's talking about that good seed as it's enduring. Because, you know, when you're a seed out there in a field, sometimes it storms really hard. And sometimes it's dry and arid and it doesn't want to grow. And sometimes it's tough to be a seed and try to grow and bear fruit. But the good seed in that good heart grows and endures. But secondarily, think about that. If the seed is having to endure and patiently persevere, guess who else is having to endure and patiently persevere? The farmer. Some of you who grew up on a farm know what that's like to have to patiently endure and persevere. And sometimes it's going to mean having to reseed. And sometimes it's going to mean having to dig and fertilize. And sometimes it's going to mean having to water. As Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, it's about baptizing them and teaching them to observe. It takes patience. You guys who are farmers, let me ask you, gardeners, does it ever work like this? You went out and you sowed the seed and you woke up the next morning and there's your big grain stalk or your corn or your tomato, nice ripe fruit right there. Does it work like that? Man, we wish it would, don't we? I'd garden if it worked like that. I can tell you why I don't garden is because it takes patient endurance, and you got to go out there and you got to weed the flower bed and you got to get the stones out. And sometimes you have to water and fertilize and reseed. You got to do all that work. That's what it's like even when we're working with good soil. When we're working with good soil, it sometimes means late sleepless nights as we help people who are coming out of the world become more and more like Jesus. That's why one of the other images of spreading the gospel is an image of a babe in Christ. You know what babies do? Babies keep us up at night. It takes patient endurance. It takes patient endurance. But continue. Let me ask you this. Are you glad that somebody has patiently endured with you while you've gone through all your junk to finally get around to bearing some fruit? Anybody here glad for that? I know I am. Let's be patient and endure with others around us. They're good soil. But it's going to take patient endurance. And there's one final thing that we need to think about as we look at this parable of the sower, this parable of the soils, this parable of the seed. We have an enemy. That first soil, that pathway soil, it says that the seed was trampled underfoot and the birds came along and devoured it. And when Jesus explains that, he says in Luke 8, verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they won't believe and be saved. We have an enemy, and he is working. And so let us not be surprised when the seed gets trampled underfoot. Have you read what people say about God's seed on the internet? Have you heard what they say about it? Talk about how stupid it is and only dumb people should believe that. There are people who are trampling God's seed underfoot. We should be prepared for that. That's what happens. And the reason they're doing that is because Satan is trying to steal it out of the hearts of men. But here's the thing we need to understand. Satan's job, Satan's work, is to keep the seeds out of the heart of men. And his greatest success is not sending the birds to pluck it after we've planted it. It's getting us to keep it in the bag. So I want to encourage you, do the Lord's work, not the devil's. Do the Lord's work, not the devil's. Because the Lord's work is sowing the seed. The devil's work is keeping it out of the hearts of men. And when we're keeping the seed in the bag, we're doing the devil's work for him. When we're doing anything but sowing the seed like crazy, we're helping the enemy. And we come up with all our reasons. And we come up with all our excuses. I know, because I do it. But that voice inside our head that's saying, don't sow the seed right now. They won't like it. Don't sow the seed right now. They don't know that you love them well enough. Don't sow the seed right now. You haven't done enough good works in their presence. Don't sow the seed right now because you have no idea how they're going to respond to it. That's not the Lord. Oh, I mean, I know that's some church growth experts and evangelism expert books, but that's not the Lord. The Lord's work is sow the seed. It's the devil that convinces us not to sow the seed because that's his job. His job is to keep that out of men's hearts. Our job is to get it out there. And the only way we can test the soil is to sow the seed. Look, I get it. Of course we need to sow the seed in love. There's not a bit about this that says we're supposed to be jerks while we're sowing the seed. I get it. We may get done having sown the seed and realize, man, I messed up here, there. I made this mistake. Next time I'm going to sow it a little bit better. I understand that. But we serve an amazing God. We serve a God whose seed works. We serve a God whose seed goes out and does what it's sent out to do. And sometimes it's sent out to bring souls to him, and sometimes it's sent out to judge souls, to leave them without excuse. Our job is to sow the seed like crazy. And then be prepared for people to say, you're crazy. You're crazy. Praise the Lord. Because then I'm sowing seed like this sower did. That's what we need to be doing. Disciple making, evangelizing, sowing the seed like crazy. So let me ask you this. Have you picked up some invitation cards recently? Is there anybody in your mind that you can say, you know what, I'm not sure yet how to present the gospel to them. I'm going to go to that training session they're going to have in November. I can't remember which Sunday it is, but we're going to have it in November. I'm going to learn about that. But man, but I tell you what I can do. I can invite somebody so they can come hear the seed here. Who's on your mind? Who are you thinking about with that? Can you do that with just one person? Two? Who in your mind are you going to invite this week? let somebody else know who it's going to be. That way next Sunday you can tell them I did it. Or, oh man, the devil was working on me. I backed off, but I'm going to do it this week. Just talk to somebody. Who are you going to invite? Is there somebody in your mind that you're thinking of that I can start a spiritual conversation with them? Spend some time this afternoon. Here's exactly how I'm going to do it. I know the question I'm going to ask that's going to get this thing started. And get the spiritual conversation going. Because there are really two vital behaviors to doing this. Making personal connections, starting spiritual conversations. You do that, you'll be sowing the seed like crazy, I promise you. Making personal connections, starting spiritual conversations. Who can you start a spiritual conversation with this week? How are you going to do it? Don't wait for the just right moment to come up. Make the plan to sow the seed and sow the seed like crazy. Thank you for your patience and attention this morning. You can go ahead and put your notes away. Pull out songbooks if you want to, but the words will be up on the screen behind me. You can follow along there and sing along. Todd's going to lead us. God is so good. God is so good. Is anybody here this morning glad somebody sowed the seed with them? Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord for people who sow the seed. When we ask this question again next year, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to have 100 more people that have to say, yes, I'm glad somebody sowed the seed with me this year? Wouldn't that be great? You know, normally at this moment in the sermon, I'm asking people to come forward and be baptized. And certainly, if you've heard the word of God and it's bringing forth in your heart and you want to be a child of God, that's what Jesus has said. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. I think it's really interesting. We're talking about a seed that gets planted in the ground and bursts forth with new life. Do you know what we do in order to become God's children? We're like a seed planted in the watery grave, in the ground, bursting forth with new life. If you'd like to do that, we're giving you that opportunity this morning. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing this song. And while we're singing it, we'll be asking you to come down to the front. If you want to respond to that word, if you want that word to grow, if you want to accept it with joy and then grow to fruit and maturity, we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. But really, after a lesson like this, I know that I'm mostly talking to people who have already let that word come into their hearts. And now we've got to decide what we're going to do with this word. What's this word going to do? Because I'm going to tell you what Satan is doing. He's sending his birds right now to pluck this word out of our hearts so that we won't do it. And then there's some of us that we're accepting and we're saying, I'm going to do it. And then we're going to get out and we're going to find out, well, it's not as easy as Edwin made it sound in the sermon. And in time of testing, we'll just back off. And then there are some who are just going to continue to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And week after week after week, they're just going to keep with their good intentions and they're not going to do it. But what I want to invite you this morning is get those stones and rocks and weeds and thorns out of your soil. Break up that ground. Let this word dig into your heart and go sow the seed like crazy. Here's what makes it hard. In an invitation like this, I'd like all of us to come forward and say, yes, I'm going to do that. Well, this is really a personal thing. My invitation for you is not about what you're going to do during the song, but what are you going to do this week? What are you going to do this week? Are you going to let Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, dig down into your heart and grow some fruit this week? You have to make that decision right now. You know, you can write it on your connection card and hand it into the elders. They'll love to see that, support you and pray for you in that. Let somebody next to you know that's what you're going to do. But that's the invitation I'm offering this morning. What's your plan? How are you going to sow the seed this week? God is good. He'll help us. Certainly, if you need to be a child of God, if that seed's been planted and you want to break forth with new life, we're going to give you that opportunity now. We're going to stand and sing, and we invite you to come to the front right now as we do so.